I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Some years ago, my older sister and her husband opened the Museum of American Art in Giverny, France. They bought a house there, and my parents spent several wonderful summers immersed in the beauty of that town. Giverny is the town where the French Impressionist painter Claude Monet lived and cultivated his gorgeous gardens. It is the place where he planted the water lilies that he so astonishingly painted toward the end of his life. In 1872, in the French port city of Le Havre, young Claude Monet made a painting that gave a name to a movement in art. Monet called his painting Impression, Sunrise. Impression, Sunrise. It was a quick, brushy harbor scene, reflections in pinks and blues and oranges. Now the artists broke all the formal rules. They used quick brush strokes. They changed perspective. They made shadows out of color and called out the light in all things. 20 years later, a middle-aged Claude Monet went to Rouen to paint 30 paintings of the great Gothic cathedral in that city, the west facade of the great Gothic cathedral in that city of Rouen. These are the paintings my son John so excitedly saw in the National Gallery of Art in Washington. Monet painted for 3 months, February, March, and April. He sat every day from 7 a.m. until about 6 or 7 in the evening, every day just painting the facade of the cathedral. 10 canvases at the same time, just to capture the light. This effort to capture light weighed on Monet. He had bad dreams about the cathedral falling on him. In the end, he wrote his wife, "I am trying to do the impossible." These paintings are dazzling. If you ever have seen the actual paintings, they are dazzling. All of Monet's paintings are dazzling. As if light has been imprisoned and then released on the canvas. All the Impressionists did this. Georges Seurat picked apart the light, the little light points in the Park with George. Remember that painting? If you look at it closely, it's just a lot of little dots of light. Vincent van Gogh demanded that the light obey him. All of them mesmerized by light. New color chemists created new colors in the 19th century. Ultramarine blue, cadmium yellow, viridian, a kind of blue-green, and cobalt blue, giving artists more visions of light. Having recently read a book about Monet's creation of those great massive water lily canvases imprinted with light while the light was leaving his eyes, I was stirred to imagine how Monet might have painted the Transfiguration. Today, on the last Sunday after the Epiphany, just before we turn to the shadows and quiet of Lent, we are carried up the mountain with Jesus and Peter and James and John, and we hear the light settle on the mountaintop. We hear about his clothes becoming dazzling white beyond bleach. We hear about the cloud that overshadowed the mountaintop band. We hear the voice that spoke as at Jesus' baptism. All of this we hear because the scriptures are literary. We read them and we hear them. The stories infiltrate our minds and hearts and call us to imagine the scene. But how would Claude Monet have imagined the Transfiguration? We don't know how long Jesus and his friends stayed on the mountain, but perhaps they lingered for a little while. Long enough for the light to change. Long enough for shadows and glimmers to play around them. Long enough to feel the light itself cool. I imagine a series of paintings trying to capture the light on this day. I imagine light playing on the folds of Jesus' garments. Light unveiling Peter's face and beard. Light reflecting John's eyes. Light sculpting James's hands. Elijah and Moses might appear in shimmery shadows. Light, but not quite light. This is the day of light for sure. Yet how can you capture the light? When I was rector of St. Michael's Parish in Litchfield, Connecticut, one of our senior wardens was a fine artist. My wife and I still have a woodblock print on our kitchen wall that was a precious gift from Lee. After I moved to Buffalo to St. Paul's Cathedral, Lee visited us. It was wonderful, you know, sitting around and just catching up on everything and everybody. But since she was an artist, we took Lee to see the Albright Knox Art Gallery in Buffalo. It's a very fine art gallery, actually specializing in modern abstract art. But they do have a modest collection of Van Gogh, Picasso, Gauguin, Renoir, and a few other impressionist painters. Before we went to see the gallery, Lee said, and I'll never forget this, "Look for the light. Look for the light and you'll see the beauty in every painting." I'm not an artist. My junior high school projects included a poster for the county fair, a rough attempt at sculpture that blew up in the kiln, and a drawing of my hand that looked like Long Island. I'm not an artist, but I stand in awe of the impressionist painters. I can't believe, after seeing so many of their, I can't believe the light that leaps from their paintings. I can't believe they could see such light. Someone who now works now in the location where Claude Monet painted his masterpieces says she doesn't see the water the way Monet did. She doesn't have his eyes. So look with me, with Monet's eyes, at the mountaintop scene where Jesus and his friends went one day to pray and be changed. The light overwhelms all else. Imagine white. Then imagine white, whiter than white. Once at the Hirshhorn Museum in Washington, I saw an exhibit of 5 paintings, each one a square of white, ever so slightly different tone of white. Strange, yes, but kind of compelling, too. Imagine the limits of bleach and see white beyond that. Imagine the intentions of Peter appear through the haze of white and light as dwellings begin to materialize. See the cloud. Imagine how many shades of light Monet could have seen in a cloud. And imagine all of them flowing and shifting on the mountaintop. What color is the voice that sounds from the cloud? "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And then imagine the last of the series of paintings Monet would have done of the Transfiguration. It is late in the day. More shadows than light cast the figures before us now. The light has dimmed. Perhaps in this late in the day painting, Monet strokes the outline of a path down off the mountain. Perhaps the stones of Jerusalem reflecting the late light. Until now, we've had strong washes of white and gold and yellow and blue. Now, rough strokes interrupt the scene in red and brown and dark green. The light is fading, and the story cannot now be said. Silence has a darker color and shade. So far as I know, Claude Monet did not paint this scene from the Bible. I don't think he painted any scenes from the Bible. He was fixed on the land and its people, his gardens, and the colors of the world. But he might have painted it. He might have painted it. He might have seen the light on the mountain. He might have rushed to get his brushes and palette and paints. He might have sat there before the mountain, great mountain of glory, and captured its light. It's the great mystery of art. Finding shape and form and color and line for things that are transcendent. Hard to capture them. Hard to impress them on canvas. The Sound of Music has it right. How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? It's a mystery. Our ancient ancestors in faith tried to find words for the impossible. They passed on this story of transfigured mountain heights and of glory under the cloud. It can't possibly be pictured, can it? I wish Monet had tried. Amen.